This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This Man of the Year award as well, alhamdulillah.
Well deserved. I mean, you know, both men doing two very, very different things. But in a way, there is a bit of a crossover because obviously with KZ and privacy, you know, all companies, and that includes Abdulmalik Taylor, would need to know about that as well, about his data protection for his company. Very important, and also I just enjoyed having Abdulmalik Taylor here because those talks sound so much fun.
They do indeed. But now it's time for my favourite segment with Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, and we are going to go talk about what we're going to talk about.
We are going to go and talk about conversations in the Quran. We'll be heading there right now.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There he is. We have you here. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, very well. It's good to be back with you. Jazakumullah khair.
Well, it's good to have you here. So please tell us, what are you going to be talking about today? And enlighten us with all your words of wisdom, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'd. We're continuing with our journey with the Quran. We began this journey a few weeks back, mashallah. There were little interruptions of travel and other things, but always our theme as Muslims has to be the Quran. As we travel through life, we travel through the Quran as a compass, as a map, as a guidebook that leads us to where we eventually want to end up, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that by the sum total of our life that we have done of greater value and worth in our own presence and in the presence of others, that makes us of those who the Prophet ﷺ describes, خَيْرُكُمْ أَنْفَعُكُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, the best of you in the sight of God will be those who were most benefiting to others. And the Qur'an is really a manual of how to do that, how to live a balanced life that is upon the fitrah, a natural inclination of worshipping God, of honoring one's family, of being a respectable, responsible citizen to the world. We've been traveling through Surah Al-Baqarah in particular. Surah Al-Baqarah, as we said, is really a synopsis of everything that is in the Qur'an. It's the longest chapter of the Qur'an, and it's the second chapter after one of the shortest introductory opening chapters of the Qur'an, Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the mandate of all of our prayers. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was saying, you opened the Qur'an, فَتَحْتُمُ الْقُرْآنِ, you unlocked the Qur'an with the key of Surah Al-Fatiha, now enter into it completely. Very early on in the surah, we soon discover that Allah speaks of three types of people. Those who hear the truth and accept it as believers. Those who hear the truth but reject it out of the blindness of their hearts and the arrogance of their souls. And then there are those who masquerade as believers but are more inclined to disbelieve than to accept faith. We refer to them as al-munafiqun, the people of hypocrisy. Very early on in the surah, in fact, verse number 8, Allah says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. You will find that some of mankind are those who will claim and say that they are believers, that they believe in God, they believe in the last day of judgment, but in fact, they are not believers. Some of this ayah really should strike myself and you as Muslims as something of word of caution. It was something that was so important that people like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the elite of the Sahaba, the best of the best, the creme de la creme, would always check their internal intentions and their external practices and words in accordance to the tradition and sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wanting to make sure that they did not run afoul and enter into this place where you claim belief, but in fact your actions, testament, and maybe even intention of doing what you do is countering the claim that you have made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, invites us as believers to be of those who are upright in our public image. But more importantly is the emphasis on what resides in our heart. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, all of us know really well, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that all of your actions in life are qualified, predicated, built on the initial pre-intentions, the sincerity of heart that begins it before the action is committed to, or the word is made, or the contract is signed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to enter faithfully into a relationship with Him that is not masquerading on conflict of interest or certainty of profit for other reasons, rather than the glory that we seek to bestow in our hearts and minds for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam therefore gives us litmus tests, things that you and I are to assess ourselves by. They're not to look and find fault in others. Most people understand these hadith in a backwards way, in an incorrect way. They hear, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, "Man kana," the one who has the three, and in one narration, four qualities, that they are a hypocrite. And if they have one or more of those qualities, then they have characteristics of hypocrisy. And he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that of those traits, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ, that when they speak, they are prone to lying, exaggerating, omitting, masquerading, deceiving in their words. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ أَخْلَفْ, when they make a promise, they break it. وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرْ, when they enter into dispute, when there's a moment of tension, they go overboard, they transgress the rights of others and the rights of those who are present. And when they make a vow, they break their covenant to Allah and to others. Those are meant to be things that you and I monitor in our hearts. How truthful am I with Allah? How truthful am I with my family? How truthful am I with my employer, my employee, my friends? Do I add onto a conversation more than is necessary? Do I omit information that is essential for the one who's requesting it? Am I a person who's duplicitous in conduct? The very word of nifaq, this concept of munafiq, comes from the character of a rat. And the Arabs, they would look out around the environment and they would describe things in the Arabic language as they saw them in reality, in real life. So they noticed that a rat, it would burrow itself with one entrance and exit, but it would have an emergency escape hatch that was a nafaq, a place that it did not use except when it was cornered and had to show its reality. So the rat each and every day would go in and go out from the same entrance and exit of its burrow. But if a snake followed it into the hole, it had that escape hatch already set to exit from it. And such are hypocrites. They show you one face, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes, the worst of mankind, dhul wajhayn, is the two-faced person. Ya'ti qawmun biwajh wa akharun. He comes to one group with one demeanor, one face, one attitude, one word, one description, one conduct, one way of life, one enthusiasm. And when he meets others, they're completely different. It's a schizophrenic life where you're trying to balance your deception amongst so many elements. And of course, it's untenable in your relationship with Allah and others. So in verse number 9 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They seem to think that they can deceive God, Allah Almighty, and they try to deceive the believers with their words, with their conduct, with their attitude, while all the while they are only deceiving, deluding themselves, and yet they do not perceive the danger that they're in. The characteristics, therefore, that are itemized in this surah, in these chapters of the Quran, in these verses, are really significant for the believers to look into. Now, there are two levels of hypocrisy. There's one level that exits a person from faith, which is where in their heart they do not believe in Allah. They have a hatred for Allah, a hatred for the Prophet, a hatred for the sacred. They despise faith, but they're willing to commit to it just because there's mutual benefit. There's something I can gain from it. And this was something unique to the Arabs at the time of the Prophet ﷺ that had not occurred before his message. The Arabs were always seen as a very regal people, very noble people. Even before Islam, they would rather be committed to death than to speak an untruth. But when the Prophet moved to Al-Madinah and he began to mix with particular types of people, they began to show this duplicity because they wanted financial gain. They wanted political aims and power. They wanted somehow to usurp and control that which was with the Prophet ﷺ for their own fortune. So Allah says, they think that they deceive God, but they don't. This becomes problematic for you and I as our regular day Muslims, where we at times we assume that, you know, we're summoned to prayer, but in our heart we really are not there for Allah. It's only because my father or my husband or my wife or my, you know, parents or whoever expects it. That's why I got up. That the faith in my heart is not what caused me to answer Hayya ala salah, come alive through prayer, come to success through this moment of standing before the Almighty, the Creator, the dispenser of all mercy. And that becomes a major issue that all of us struggle with. In the authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna akhwafa ma akhafu ala ummati ash-shirk al-khafi." Of the things that I fear most for my nation, for my community of believers, for my ummah, is that they commit shirk in a minor capacity, that they fall further and further away into disbelieving in God. And they said, "What is this shirk al-khafi, O Messenger of Allah?" He said, "An yaqum ar-rajul fayuzayyinu salatahu min." Is that a person will stand committed in their prayer, but they will beautify their prayer, not because they're before God, but because they saw somebody watching them, observing them in their salah. So they become more devout and they humble themselves more and they put on a show rather than seek it for Allah. So be careful, of course, with our families and those who are under our authority, that we kind of push them towards that unintentionally. You know, as a father, I must be very careful when I come home that my request of my children, did you pray Asr? Have you prayed your Maghrib yet? That it's not leading them to fear me or to be more worried about my thought about them than what Allah saw of them. That they should be willing to come to prayer, perhaps rephrasing the question, instead of saying, did you pray? It's rather, if you haven't prayed, come join me. I'm going to do my salah now. Those of you who haven't prayed, come join me. It's much more inviting. It's much more liberating than making the other assume that their account is with you only, rather than with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فِي خُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. The essence of hypocrisy is that in the hearts there is a disease. There is a disease of not believing truly that one is ultimately accountable to Allah. The second level of hypocrisy is that level that we all encounter, where there are lapses in our judgment. We stand before Allah in prayer and we notice somebody watching us, so we improve it a little bit. It can lead us further away from Allah, but it's not disbelief. Lying is not disbelief in Allah. You know, those things, but when they add up, they can cause a corruption of the heart that poisons the heart. فِي خُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٍ. That it can kill the heart's faithfulness, darken it to such a degree that one can tread away from faith. You and I, as Muslims who humble ourselves to Allah, who are engaged in this battle of saving our soul and that of our families, always must monitor our sincerity with Allah, our truthfulness with Allah. And I leave you with two of the most important ways to assist you in that. The first is to do something significant that is only between you and Allah, that is honoring to Him. Whether it's two rak'ah before you sleep without your husband or wife knowing, whether it's a charity that comes out of your bank account that not even your spouse knows, you've been sponsoring this orphan for years, right? Do something that's only for you, only known to you and your Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala, that on the day you return to Him, no other living being is aware of it but Allah. The second is that when you fall afoul, when you've done something wrong, when you've spoken an untruth, when you've made a promise that you didn't fulfill, counterbalance it with something of greater magnitude of righteousness. So make it up to the person you broke the promise to. Even if it's your child, go beyond the promise. Go do something great that settles your score and more, and increases your awareness that I'm dealing with Allah. I'm not just doing this because I promised, but I regret that this was something that I failed before Allah in, and I must improve in it and make amends and do better in the future. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of the Prophet ﷺ for us and himself, where he would say, Ya muthabbit al-qulub, O Allah, who makes the heart steadfast, thabbit qalbi ala deenik, make my heart steadfast upon faith, remove from it hypocrisy and riya, remove from it the desire to show off and be seen and celebrated by others for righteous conduct. Make us anew, ameen, Allahumma ameen, those who worship him as he deserves to be worshipped, and protect us from doing it for the vanity of this world and the feigned celebration of those whose worth in our life is meaningless in comparison to what we seek from Allah in the Akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejoin us always in kindness and happiness and fidelity, in faithfulness in our relationship with Allah. May Allah uplift us and protect us from hypocrisy, that which we know of and that which we were unaware of. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be celebrated in the heavens for our sincerity rather than on earth with the feigned celebrity of others. Allahumma ameen.
I mean, thank you so much, Sheikh. I mean, some really thoughtful words there. Something for us all to think about, especially when you're saying about when we're trying to get our children to pray as well. Trying to encourage them to pray, not just because we're saying, it's prayer time, you have to do it. But so that they know that Allah is watching them and they're doing it for Allah. And for us as well, we need to make sure we're doing things purely for Allah and not to impress other people. You know, that's really important. Thank you 100%. So much.
You know, I've come to really love these reflection sessions, and especially, sorry, I know we should have favourites, but especially with Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, because I just feel like it really takes us through, you know, to the understanding, and especially for us as presenters being on TV, you know, it's important, you know, this session in particular, you know, going back to that whole, the importance of renewing your intention, the importance of really, and then, you know, the reflection of looking at that particular part of the surah where about the hypocrites, mm-hmm. you know, because it's very easily we can fall into this, into, you know, doing things to please other people,
that's
you
right.
know, doing things for, you know, for other people.
Well, that's it. I mean, yeah. As you said, he grounds us. You know, the Sheikh's sessions there grounds us, but helps us to reflect as well.
Yeah.
In fact, Sheikh, as well, you give us some hope, and I think that's really important as well, because we are humans make mistakes, but you can follow up, and that if you realize you have done something bad,
yeah.
I mean, because you were talking there about being two-faced, one a really awful sort of trait to have, but if someone feels like they weren't being genuine to a friend or family member or somebody that you know, you can follow it up with a good act,
yeah.
You know, you can, and then that would be between you and Allah.
Absolutely.
You know, Allah would know you've done that.
And I think what's important is, I think for many of us, we have moments of regret, but we don't follow through with that which uplifts us from the regret. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just want us to wallow in sadness and remorse and say, oh, I wish I had done this in the past. We've all had that moment where, you know, you were in a conversation with someone, then you left and you said, oh, I should have said. And if I went back, I could have, you know, I would have said that. And Allah encourages you, the Prophet ﷺ sunnah encourages you to actually, well, go back and say it or text it or call or, you know, let them know, you know, where things actually do stand. There is, as long as there is a breath in your body, as long as you have been given by Allah another day, do not ever assume that you cannot make amends, that you cannot come back and redeem yourself, even if it is with Allah. And it's through your redemption with Allah that Allah turns the hearts of others towards you. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that the hearts are held in the hand of Allah. He turns it as he wills. Most of us, we assume that I just need to speak to that person and then they'll hear what I have to say. But it's not about that. Usually it involves, well, what is your inequity with Allah? Where was your heart and where is your heart? And when you set yourself right with Allah, Allah helps you set yourself right with others. Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he would say, أصلح ما بينك وبين الله يصلح الله ما بينك وبين الناس. If you can fix what is between you and Allah, what is in privacy between you and Allah, then you will find that Allah will assist you to fix the problems you have with others.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sheikh. And I guess also the message is, don't leave it too late. We're not, you know, don't wait for a long time forever until you do that good deed again. Do it straight away. You know, if you can help that person do something good, do it straight away while you have breath. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sheikh.
Wow.
Shaykh Ibrahim soon again, inshallah, because that was absolutely wonderful.
Jazakumullah khair.
Thank you so much. But now we will be heading to a short commercial break. Do join us in the kitchen shortly, because we'll be joined by Chef.